2.5 years since I stood in this position. As most of you know, I haven't been on top form, not too well during these last 2 years, but thank God I'm feeling much better. You know, this morning we started off in the worship, and it was just wonderful. You know, thank you so much, Helen, wherever you are. There was one song that we sang, and that was "I Love You More Than Gold or Silver," and it took me back 26, 27 years ago. And there was a man who was giving testimony at a full gospel dinner, and we had a time of worship, and they sang that song. And every time I hear it now, I think of him, because he brought home the love of Christ that was in him. I saw him worship, and he was away. He wasn't in that room at all. He was away with his God. He was away with Jesus. I've seen that before. Were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things for loss, for the excellence of the knowing of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then the words of verse 10, which we've been sending this man in. But I know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by all means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I read this passage and just blows me away. That I may know him, he says. That I may know him. You know, in 2 Corinthians 16,
saved. As I said before, in prison, his spirit isn't dampened. Even though he's in prison, he's free in Christ. We can't silence him then. His words are rather down the centuries from then. And even though he isn't silenced now, he's really in a poor bad spirit. In that sense, prison couldn't hold him. His imprisonment is still held fast in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Paul. He can't contain himself. He can't contain. He doesn't have a way to keep it to himself. As much as he's teaching Paul from the revelation, he himself has received. That revelation that he said when he sailed on the Damascus Road. He was challenged. He was conquered by the fear of God saving grace. Previously, he was a confident assured in his own works. Confident by the Lord, no longer confident in the flesh. He was confident in our works, our Jesus. His character and focus is changed. It's changed dramatically and forever. It's the very essence of his being. Rejoice in the Lord. There it goes. To have the same thing to me is not previous to me. He can't contain it. He's got to have the same thing. He's talking about the Father in Christ, the Lord in Christ. And the Lord Christ has been what Christ brings. He needs to save, but he needs to save it's not true to me to repeat Paul's warnings. It's necessary for his spiritual safety. Why constantly to remind ourselves of what Christ has done? That's what all for it is. Beware of deficits, beware of our workers, beware of the concession, the mutilation. Beware. It's a triple warning. One commentator put it, beware Satan's demolition crew. This is a teaching of the requirement, only the light of salvation by grace, through faith and by faith in the work of Christ, solely in Him. That's where salvation is. In verse 3, it says, believe the secrets of the Holy Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This verse sets out a true position. He was saying he was to the circumcision is not of the heart, it's in the spirit. It's not of the letter. We should come to the spirit, hide from the heart, and rejoicing in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him alone for salvation. In the atonement, the life of the cross, is no confidence in anything but this. The writer of his joy. As I expressed it in Romans 38:31, I have decided that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, all to come,
I'm not going to touch this, can't touch that. It's not going to touch my own pain. I'm not going to touch my own pain.
just lost that knowledge of Christ to be found in him, not having won our own righteousness. That uptight righteousness that Paul had been living in. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God through faith, not by our own righteousness.
Necessary burdens. The law of Moses called for cleansing after touching an unclean animal or contact with a corpse. I can imagine wanting to clean myself after contact, you know, with a dead person. And ceremonial cleansing for religious practices. To these the rabbis added many petty little rules to guard against any possible defilement, reasoning that if we have contact with anything impure, we must wash. The water must be pure, and consequently the vessel holding the water must also be pure. Well, can you imagine living under those constrictions? And Jesus quoted Isaiah 29:13. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honour me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts all the rules of men. A Pharisaic tradition. Constantly on guard, rigorous, uptight, all-absorbing, mind-consuming, exercising great care in the observation of all these rules. All the rules appertaining to the Sabbath, the law, and all its restrictions. Paul, by his own confession, was consumed by a superabundance of zeal, a driving force to uphold the ancient laws and traditions, all threatened by the teachings of the disciples and followers of Jesus. So there's Paul, his pride poor, touching the law, blameless. This was Paul. Reading again from Philippians verses 5 to 7. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Whoa. This is Paul who'd been persecuting the church. This is Paul who'd been getting people, locking people up, condemning them, judging them. How he's changed. All the traditions, all external, and it's now spiritual, worshipping from the heart. Not from the head, but from the heart. Joel used to say, years ago, it's when you know and you know her. And that, for me, is it's when you know in your heart. It's not just head knowledge. It's when you know, deep within yourself. Martin Lloyd Jones put it like this: to worship by the Spirit of God is not something burdensome. It's not cold or formal. It's always warm, loving and free. Not liturgy or tradition. Not formality. Not duty. Not form or ceremony. Paul's set free. And Paul's led by the Spirit. Is not under the law. Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul is alive in Christ, full of the Spirit, heart and mind changed, to know the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ, set free. Keep saying those words because that's where Paul is. He's set free to follow the two greatest commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second, to love your neighbour as yourself. This is Paul. It's the new Paul. Freed from the law of sin and death. The new Paul. No longer Saul the persecutor, but now Paul the apostle. The apostle of Jesus Christ. His mind changed. A new direction. He wants to share Christ. He wants to live Christ. And he wants to know Christ. Knowing you, Jesus. Paul's living under a new covenant. He's enabled by the Spirit and the blood of Christ. A new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Now, I think back, knowing you, Jesus. You know, for years I knew about Jesus. I knew about him. Gone to church from 5-year-old. Congregational church, Wesleyan Methodist, St. John's on the height, Church Lads Brigade. I knew about Jesus. The thing is, until I was 52, I didn't know Jesus. That's where Paul is coming from. Paul didn't know Jesus. Not in his heart, he didn't know what Jesus would do, he didn't know that Jesus could set him free. He didn't know that in Jesus was life. John Piper said, when the law written on stone meets an unwilling heart of stone, all it does is condemn and kill. But when that law is written on hearts, softened by the Spirit, the result is life. Perhaps it was my time at 52 to know. But I tell you what, life hasn't been the same since. Softened by the Spirit, the result is life. Mindful of the word spoken in Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them and on their hearts I will write it. That knowing in the head isn't knowing in the heart. To know Jesus. Hearts softened by faith in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The commandments, the laws of God, not man. No longer burdensome. In Colossians 1:13, giving thanks to the Father who has delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. What does he say in the third verse of Philippians 3? For we are the circumcision and worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The confidence of Paul is now resting in Christ alone. In a letter to the Colossians in 1:19 he writes, for it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell, and having peace through the blood of Christ, by him to reconcile all things to himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. All of these words, just get hold of these. To present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. To present you holy and unblameable. You know, those thoughts, it's astounding. Astounding revelation. Rosa and I heard those words over 25 years ago, and then we were in the Catholic Church. Declared not guilty. Whoa! Bursting power of the gospel. Astounding revelations, not by works or by any other means, but by grace through faith. To be found in him, not having my own righteousness. We could never have enough of our own righteousness, but that which is by grace through faith. The words of Paul, the apostle of the heart set free, the apostle of the free spirit, as F.F. Bruce, one of the commentators that I think I've often heard quoted here. Words that Paul was inspired to communicate by the indwelling Spirit of Christ to mankind. Words to inspire throughout past, present and future history. If There's never a man set free in Christ. This was Paul. His whole purpose, his consuming passion, to impart the joy, his joy, in a deep understanding and wonder of what Christ has achieved in fulfilling the will of God on the cross. You know, that's what Paul wanted. It's what Paul wants us to know today. What Christ achieved for us on the cross. To be set free. To set free from the burdens that, you know, the world and life can put upon us. Cry out with a voice of joy, for the Lord has set his people free. You know, Rosa and I had read that in the Word, and we were in a church then that used to have a communion antiphon. And the word that morning was, cry out with a voice of joy, for the Lord has set his people free. Alleluia. And we were both, filled with this. We were waiting for that word to be spoken. And it got passed over. And we couldn't believe it. Because it meant so much to us. Because we were set free at the time in Christ. I was reminded of the words of Isaiah 61:1 that Jesus quoted at the beginning of his ministry. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And Paul received by the Spirit the same anointing. In Galatians 5:18 he says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And in Romans 8 he talks of the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Glorious liberty. The righteousness of God, which is of faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, as believers, we're justified freely by his grace. Find that an astounding revelation. You know, for donkey's years, you can live in condemnation that I'm guilty. You know, guilty. But the word tells us, justified, declared not guilty, justified freely, meaning no cost to us, because the price is paid. Jesus paid it for us on the cross. Justified freely by his grace, unmerited favour, undeserved blessing. That's grace. Declared not guilty at no cost to us, to ourselves, through God's favour and blessing, even though we don't deserve it. When we begin to understand that, we can begin to understand freedom. Not under the law, but under grace. Back to Philippians 3, and that's reading from verse 8. And he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. And then verse 9, I love it. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God through faith. Just had a word, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That I may win Christ and be found in him. Let's just hold that, just for a minute. That I may win Christ and be found in him. And in verse 10 he says, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. That I may know him. That's the essence, really, I feel, of the passage. We sung the songs this morning that we might know him more. That might know him. In these words, Paul is saying to be seeking the Lord more and more intimately. Not just in the mind, but in his whole being. To know Christ more and the power, dunamis, the mighty power of his resurrection, being made conformable to his death. Conformed. Conformed means union with and joined with. George used the Amplified version the other week, and I just had a look at the same verse in the Amplified, and it says, that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more clearly. That I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection and to be continually transformed into his likeness. That I may win Christ and be found in him, that I may know him, that I may know him more. The words of the song this morning, I want to know him more. I want to love you. I want to see you. I want to know you more. John Piper said, faith is born and sustained by the word of God. You know, as I read this passage, you know, for myself, as I've been preparing and looking at this, the words have that power of jumping out into your spirit, and the wow experiences that you can find in the verses of scripture, I've just loved it. It's come to life. You know, the words stand on their own. Sometimes you don't even have to preach it. It's there. As you read it, you can feel your spirit lift. Wonderful, wonderful words. Lord, I just pray that the words of Paul sink deep into our hearts. Lord, that we might experience the freedom of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we might know the power of his Spirit within us. Lord, that we might know the freedom that Christ has wrought, oh Lord, for us. Lord, that we might stand before a holy God. Lord, just to think that we might stand in God's presence. Father, it's almost unbelievable. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that work. We thank you that in Christ we are set free. Set free to worship, set free to praise, and set free to come into your presence. Oh, Jesus, we just love you this morning. To be found in you and to know you more. Could we, Helen, wherever you are, could we just, you know, Graham Kendrick wrote a song that we all knew, that we all used to sing, All I Once Held Dear Built My Life Upon. And it's based on this scripture. So could we sing it together? And it's All I Once Held Dear Built My Life Upon. Knowing you, Jesus. There is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. And now my heart's desire is to know you more. To be found in you and known as yours. To possess by faith what I could not earn. All surpassing gift of righteousness. Lord, we just thank you this morning for that work on the cross. And as we sing this song, Lord, I ask that it settles deep in our hearts, it settles deep in our beings, that we can walk away free in Christ this morning. Amen.